right, y'all, you know what fucking time it is. The best time of the week. Brought to you again by Sorry If I Offend You, the one, the only fucking podcast. Listen, I got somebody fun in the building with me today, or he's kind of fun, or whatever, I guess.
I'm mad fun, B.
I'll give him that. He definitely whooped my ass in ping pong. I'm going to reiterate, ping pong is a white sport. I'm not supposed to be good at it. You shouldn't be good at it.
I get a lot of practice with my white friends.
Oh, yeah, I figured that. I got that when you already knew what the serve was.
Exactly. You know, we just got to get the nice little volley, let you get a little warm up, but then we turn up the heat.
Listen, I was trying. I don't get the concept of it.
You did all right. You bounce it
put
one side.
Put me in
the
basketball court, though.
You don't know how to hoop.
Listen, maybe not. Actually, put me on a football field. No,
that's even 10 times worse.
Listen, what you mean? You want to see video? I played intramural in college. I played flag in high school.
Okay.
And I've always played with my brother. So listen, don't play with me.
What position?
I know how to play. I'm center.
Center, like hiking the ball? Yeah. And then what you do after that? You block?
No, I played corner. I played center.
Okay. Let me ask you. So you're the center. You're the one that's hiking the ball.
Hiking the ball. And then I played corner as well.
Okay. So
pretty fast.
I want to understand because in the NFL or, you know, padded football.
It's not the same as
no, exactly,
football,
right? Because when you hike it, you block at somebody as a center. So what do you do as a center in flag or intramural football?
Okay. So realistically, y'all, it is not as organized as you think it is. So essentially,
she thought we thought it was organized.
Maybe. You might have. You asked me a question.
Okay,
like,
my bad.
I should already know, right? Yeah. So you hike the ball, and then essentially you're supposed to block.
Okay.
Was I blocking?
But she played football,
play,
y'all.
I promise. I really can, though. Stop playing with me.
Look at
my
the nails, B.
To,
you can catch
maybe
those?
Maybe not with these. No, but when I played in college, I had to break my shits off.
Okay.
And I thought that I could do both because I was like, oh, whatever. Like, I've played. I always play with my brothers. When we play at the beach, like, I still have my nails and stuff because we're playing at the beach. You can't.
You can't do that.
No.
Not when
I didn't have long nails like this. No, hell no. And I didn't have long nails like this in high school. But I will say, one of our flag games, I won MVP.
Wow.
So if I got to bring them on to back me, I'm going to have to do that.
You might need to because I don't believe it.
Listen,
I'm sorry if I offend you.
I could call somebody right now if you want me to.
We'll leave that for
later. Listen, yeah. I'm big on fact checking, and I don't lie. Promise. I'm not the greatest center, but I was a good corner, and I could run that fucking ball. So that's what matters.
She won MVP. We need to see the trophy. We need to see the certificate. We didn't give you a certificate.
They don't give you a certificate.
Oh, that's just like a thing they just say?
It's kind of like a thing, yeah, and we got drinks. It's fucking college intramural.
Okay, no,
that's cool. Have you ever played intramural?
No, I went to college for baseball. Like, I went on a scholarship.
Oh, excuse me.
And I played the actual.
I played for fun.
Yeah, no. Yeah, I played the actual sport of baseball.
Oh.
In college.
I tried to play softball 1 year. It didn't work out for me.
When did you try to do that?
Probably, like, I'd say I was in fifth grade.
Fifth grade, okay.
Yeah, so.
Why didn't it work out for you?
I just didn't like it.
Scared of the ball?
Honestly, yes. And I practiced with my brother and my mom, and they gave me a black eye. So I was like, honestly, balls flying at my face isn't really what I want to do.
Right, you definitely don't need to be having no black eyes. Baby.
Right? Like, so, I don't need broken nails. I don't need a black eye. I don't need anything that's going to affect my looks. And I know that you can agree with that, especially in your line of business.
Right.
So let's step away. Talk about what's important. Why the fuck are you here, basically?
So I'm a true entrepreneur. I am a partner in a couple of different businesses. The one that you're referring to would be UTG Agency, which is Ultimate Talent Global Agency. We're an influencer and model agency. So what we've done for, you know, our first around 4 years of business is deal with clients who are looking for models, whether that's for music videos, for runway shows, for trade, for print. If you needed models, we had them for you. So we were facilitating a lot of those deals. And what happened was COVID came, right? And it just changed the way that businesses operated across any industry. So we really had to sit here and think, okay, what can we do to not only keep our talent safe, abide by all these new rules and regulations, but create a system where we didn't necessarily have to be at a physical location in person for the talent to make money. And we figured out, hey, we need to get into the influencer marketing space. So that's where we are now. And the main thing that we do is we help influencers grow their influences, grow their brand. And then in some cases, we also negotiate deals on the behalf of influencers, right? So if an influencer is getting blown up with DMs, blown up with emails, it gets overwhelming, right? And there's a lot of bullshit and a lot of scams. So we come in and we facilitate those deals for them and help them get paid.
It's giving organized pimp. That is all I can think of when you said but I get it.
Here's the thing. So initially, our modeling agency was female only. Mm-hmm. And you know, obviously with that, you know, you had to have a certain look and things like that. And we really wanted to get away from those,
stereotypes,
right. Or those stipulations. Mm-hmm. Right. Cause as an influencer, your job is influence, right. To mm-hmm. convince people, persuade people to, your way of thinking, to the type of clothes you wear, to the type of makeup that you buy. So we realized that we could broaden the type of people that we work with. By not having to have that modeling look, per se. Mm-hmm.
What does that mean, modeling look? Like slim, a female, or like a sex appeal?
Not necessarily like a body type, but just more of like modeling as far as like beauty and like those type of products, clothing and things like that. So now we've been working with influencers who deal with automobiles, or influencers who do home decor.
I didn't know they had. I really didn't know they had auto. What is an auto influencer?
100%, right? What gamers. I mean, an auto influencer, that's somebody who, you know, talks about cars. Maybe, you know, talks about cars, talks about car parts, talks about brands, talks about different types of cars, electric vehicles, gas vehicles, right? So it just comes down to finding influencers who have a niche and that have an audience, right? So mm-hmm. for an automobile or auto influencer, right, you compare them with an AutoZone or an Advanced Auto Parts or a Walmart or, you know, a brand that's trying to push, you know, vehicle products or car products, right? Mm-hmm. So we get them connected, we facilitate that payment, and then they're able to market that product or service to their audience.
Have you ever had to drop somebody out of your, like, let's say a lot of times when you do business, and I talk to everybody who's doing business, you come across people who want to cut you out because essentially you're the middleman.
Right.
You know what I mean? They want to cut you out because profit.
Right.
And that could be on either end. Mm-hmm. It could be on, you know, the person who's utilizing your services. They may say, hey, look, I give Floydie $400 for this, but you know, maybe you're paying him out 20. I'm just throwing these numbers out here too, so I won't do too much on you. But like, if it's 400 and you're getting a 20% agency fee, so they're walking away with 300 something like that. Yeah, look, that's probably that shit for real.
Yeah.
But you're walking away with that. If they go up to the girl or guy, whatever, and say, "Hey, look, if we could cut a Floydie out, do it for me for $350."
Right.
They're saving themselves $50, and the model's making, it's $30, but you'd be surprised what people do to kind of switch up on you or for their own benefit. A lot of people are greedy. This world is full of greedy people. So have you come across somewhere where I guess you could say you got snaked in your business? Do you see that really often?
We don't see it often. First and foremost, we have agreements in place, right? So when we book a model or an influencer with a client, it explicitly states in that agreement, once you work with this particular model, all business moving forward with this particular model or influencer flows through the agency. Mm-hmm. With the influencer.
Organized pimp.
With the influencer. For the record, I'm not a pimp. We run a...
For the record, he's, you know, not a pimp.
Illegal,
you know,
influencer marketing agency. But on the influencer side, We have a similar agreement. It's called a non-compete. We've had instances where that's happened unintentionally, where somebody just really didn't understand it. Because you got to think about it as an influencer. You're going to save $50, but when we find out, because it's not if, it's when, because you're going to have to post that content. We monitor the people we work with, right, just to kind of see what they have going on. Mm-hmm.
I seen you motherfuckers working with AutoZone.
Right.
I can't imagine.
Yeah, we brokered that. You know what I'm saying? So
O'Reilly called me.
So what we do is we just let them know, like, hey, don't do that because you're going to lose the opportunity for future opportunities.
Do you blacklist them?
I would not talk
You give me
bad.
Your black. You I would give not me, talk your bad. Your personality gives
about
me blacklist.
I wouldn't talk bad about an influencer. You know, if we had that situation like that happen with an influencer and a brand reached out to us, I would let them know that we don't represent that influencer. They would have to go direct. I don't want to stifle anybody's opportunity to make money, but I also don't want to give them any further opportunities through us. So I believe that people act in a way that they feel is the best for them.
Selfish.
So I don't take that personally. but if that happens to us, then we just don't work with the influencer. It's not a big deal.
Honestly, so just so y'all have a little bit of insight, I did do a fashion show with you.
You did.
Recently. You guys know I have posted content, so shout out to UTG. That was an amazing experience for me. I had a great turnout. I gained a lot of followers from that experience, and I also got sales.
Nice.
So thank you for that. So I really appreciate you allowing my company to be a part of your company and just building our brands together. But throughout the fashion show, I was full of anxiety. You know that. I was literally like, what are we doing next? What am I supposed to be doing? This person's not ready. This person's not this. Mm-hmm. How do you cope with the stress of those, high volume environments?
I think it just really comes down to expecting it, right? So you have a game plan, but you also have room for error. That's why when we're, you know, building out a schedule, we're going to give ourselves extra time in the areas that we know that we're going to need it. So just doing that and then just knowing that some shit's going to pop off, kind of prepares you and gets you mentally ready so that when it does, it's like, okay, cool. Take a deep breath. What do I need to figure out? Who's the point person for that, right? We also want to delegate, areas where people are in charge of, so that you're not that one person trying to handle a million different things. So it's really important to delegate. And it's just, like I said, just to be prepared and know that some shit's going to pop off.
What made you even get into fashion show, honestly? Because, like, when I first met you, that is how I met you, as we had worked with Susie, and she did one of your fashion shows.
Yep, that was our first one. That was our first one at Tier. Yep.
For sure. And then we did the photo shoot at the mansion.
Yep.
And then now we had did the next fashion show that you had, and you have another one coming up, right? So how do you get into, I guess, essentially, like, your business of, I know you said you circled into influencing when COVID hit, like, okay, media marketing for all of the influencers. But how did you get into building, like, your brand? Just getting into, I guess, the modeling field.
Right.
And how did you even start with your first model, managing it? How did you pitch yourself for somebody to say, okay, I'm going to allow his model to represent my brand?
Right. So the way that happened was I'm a musician at heart. I did a lot of tours and early in my career, like with Wale, Waka Flocka, Tory Lanez. I don't know if it's cool to say. It's still cool to say.
Oh, so my. Listen, we didn't cancel Tory.
It was before he, like, shot people and stuff.
He didn't point blank shoot anybody.
You know, before he did all what he did.
Allegedly.
Waka Flocka, Kendrick Lamar was one of my favorite. I was at the UCF Arena, Meek Mill, Tyga. And we just made a lot of connections in the entertainment industry throughout that. And then I started managing an artist, and she was very successful. We were able to get her a ton of different opportunities, and I started falling in love with the management part, the business part of side of entertainment. Excuse me. So I was, like, smoking a blunt one day with my boy Birdo on the back porch, and I was like, you know, I should start a modeling agency. And I know anything about it.
Just randomly, you're just like, randomly. Fuck it, I'm high. I might get some bitches to model for me.
I don't know anything about the industry. I don't know if I need, what kind of license, what kind of insurance I need. I just want to do it. And then I did my first casting, and like 50 people showed up. I was like, shit.
That's not bad, though. Like, that's pretty good for you, for first casting, for 50 people to say, fuck it, I want to be a part of your brand. It's right. Also, I feel like the modeling field or just any type of media, people who want to be a creator or want to be in that realm, essentially, it's a lot of auditions. And it's a lot of people taking a chance on you, just like you're taking a chance on their brand. So maybe that's what their mindset is. Because for me, same thing when you were saying you wanted to create a podcast, if I'd be open to be on there, I never say no to opportunity. That is the best way to grow your network, is never saying no to an opportunity. Obviously, if it absolutely doesn't make sense, it's going to make you look crazy. Like, I'm not going to go outside in a Ronald McDonald fucking suit because somebody told me that shit was cool. Or like, right. Hey, will you do an episode with me, but you got to dress up like a fucking cow or something crazy.
But that's probably not going to do. But that's how Doja Cat blew up. With that,
I mean, yeah, that's how cow she blew up. They're not asking me. I'm saying a big blow up cow, a gorilla suit. Let me say that. Some goofy shit. I'll never make myself look overly goofy or anything, but I will never turn down opportunity that makes sense or opportunity for growth, because when you do that, you're keeping yourself behind, essentially. You can't think you're too good for every situation.
Right.
You have to read the room and figure out what's going to benefit you.
Right.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I love when people say, right, he has shit else to say, but you're right. So that caught me off guard.
Right.
Normally, people tell me, okay, cool, but I've been hearing you're right pretty often, so I think I'm going to roll with that one for sure. Yeah. Don't be upset.
I'm not upset. You just sound like my wife.
Really?
Yeah. That's all women. All fellas, here's a gem. Women are always right, okay? They're always right. So just remember that.
Women are always right.
Your woman is always right.
You're wrong. Let me ask you something. This girl was complaining on Twitter, which I love Twitter. It's a place for madness, about how her man broke up with her because she just up in one day decided to cut her hair off. Mm-hmm. Finger wave cut her hair off. So damn near bald, but still girly, right? Mm-hmm. He broke up with her, and a man quoted it and said, more of this needs to happen. And essentially saying, like, when you don't like something, you need to leave or you need to be honest about it and exit out of the situation rather than, I guess, dragging it on and sticking around when you don't want to be there over a fucking haircut. Mm-hmm. So what's your thoughts on that? Like, if your partner changed their looks completely and you didn't personally like it, are you going to end things with them and just move forward? Truthful.
No, I'm not leaving my girl for nothing.
Your girl is your wife. Let's think hypothetically. Let's rewind to when you first met her. No kids, nothing. Like, let's put ourselves in that situation. No kids, just your girlfriend.
I really don't know. I've never been in that situation.
This is a hypothetical.
It's a hypothetical, but it's a tough hypothetical because I think just completely different now. And I think that there's so much more to somebody than
man, he turned into a lover boy.
No, seriously, I think there's no way that this dude left his girl because of a finger wave haircut. There's no way. Because that means just that the real love wasn't there. What happens if she gets, God forbid, gets cancer? What happens if she gets some kind of disease that causes hair loss?
It would be different for that situation because it wouldn't be a choice.
But it doesn't matter. But would it be? He left her because, from what I understand, because of the way her hair looked. So if essentially having a disease or having cancer, someone would give you that same kind of look, not even as stylish, what's to say that he will stay with that person then? You're going to stick by, because that's 10 times harder. The hair's going to grow back. Cancer might not go away. Mm-hmm. So what kind of situation are you in now? You got to love that person through sickness and health. You got to make sure that you take care of that person, get them the medication they need. It's going to get expensive. It's going to get hard on you. You're not going to be able to do the things that you want to do. So that's a real testament of love. So this guy, there's no way that he left her just because of the way that her hair looked.
Thank you for the grown man answer.
There's something deeper
than that. You're the first person that actually answered that question solid, because I like to run these questions by a little consensus. And every male friend that I have essentially agreed with him and said, like, okay, if I don't like her for how she looks, I'm going to just dip. For me, that's superficial. And most people are superficial. A lot of love that you see across the board is all superficial.
Right.
Why is you changing one thing for yourself, essentially, is going to dramatically affect your life or have caused somebody to leave you? That person never really wanted to be with you, like you said. That person never genuinely cared about you. And when shit hits the fan, that person is never going to actually be there. Have you had experiences that have taught you a life lesson like that?
I mean, yeah, I think you always get let down by certain people in your life, whether that's in business or whether that's in just regular relationships. You know, what I've learned with the talent industry is, you know, you have to understand that, once again, people are going to do what they feel is best for them. So you might help an influencer or an artist get to a certain point who feels like they might have another opportunity that better suits them. And if you're not protected in a way that protects your investment, then you could essentially get screwed over for that. Now, if you have agreements in place, you know, obviously there's ways to protect yourself, but then that gets a little difficult and that gets tricky. For me, when somebody feels like I'm not a good fit, I'm okay with that. and I let them go do what they want to do. I don't want to make it messy. I don't want to make it difficult for them. I want to continue to do business because we have a ton of influencers. We got a ton of people that we represent. I don't have time to be worried about one person. And I've also realized that, like, people have real shit going on. This is real life. People have real lives outside of what we're doing and what we're trying to accomplish. And that has an enormous effect on their ability to perform.
True. Do you set, like, are you, you know how when you sign up for a new brokerage, sometimes they have different teams that'll give you leads, essentially. Do you promise your staff, like, certain leads for the month, I guess? I don't know what the verbiage for that for your stance would be. But, like, do you tell them, like, hey, I'm going to get you 3 gigs a month? Or, you know, okay, I'm just throwing that out there.
So you're asking if we guarantee influencers work.
Right, exactly. Because how are you? Mm-hmm. How do you guarantee work for all of the people that you,
that are in the agency?
That you represent.
So it's actually very simple how we do this. And here's the secret. We don't. Because we're a non-exclusive agency, right? So what that means is you could be in our agency, you could be in 100 other different agencies. And we do that because we don't want to limit anybody on their opportunities. There's just no way for us to guarantee it. We don't know if a brand, you're going to be a great fit for a brand. We don't know if you're going to be a great fit for a certain client. So we don't make those guarantees. But what we do offer outside of just, getting gigs and getting paid for things like that is opportunity to collab with other creators, the opportunity to network, the opportunity to be in just situations that you never would be in. Like, we took 40 models to Rolling Loud a couple of years ago. It was terrible. As far as,
I thought you were going to say, it was incredible.
Rattling, like, talk about, like, keeping a bunch of cattle together. No, but it was,
yeah, 40,
it was an experience. But a lot of them, you know, would not have been in that situation and being able to experience that. And I think we've changed a lot of people's lives, whether that's been, like, dude, I know couples, right, that have, model couples that have met at our events or, you know, that
oh, work so when they get married or they have a baby, they gotta thank you.
They don't gotta thank me, but it's just, it's great for me to see the effect of what we do. It's just so much deeper than just being an influencer, being a model. There's just so much other value that you can get out of it if you're willing to take it that way.
What value?
Just learning, right? Learning, being around like-minded individuals, being around people that are gonna support you. We have a group chat with all of our talent. And it's just a great space. Like, people come in there and they're, you know, hey, is this a scam? Or, hey, girls, keep your head up. Or,
not, is this a scam? They ask you that often.
No, they ask us. Well, not our company, but they'll send an email or something like that that they got from a brand.
Okay.
And they'll be like, hey, has anybody received this email?
I thought they
meant
your brand. I was like, damn.
You know, that we haven't had that a long time because we're pretty well established now. Mm-hmm. When people are like, oh, this is a scam, it's like, dude, we're not charging you anything to be a part of this. We're actually giving you a lot of free value. Right, as far as when it comes to being, you don't have to pay to be in our agency.
Just when you're booked, you do a back end.
Right, they get paid, but they don't have to pay. They don't have that, but you're not paying us, right?
It's like your taxes.
Right, I mean, that's coming out. You know, that's a part of the deal. That deal
unless
doesn't
you pay
exist.
Your taxes, then that's different.
Right.
Yeah.
So essentially, it's like that to the influencer. For anybody who like kind of like trips over the percentage that the agency takes, it's like, dude, this is money you would not have made. Mm. Or how do you know you would have been able to negotiate this high of a rate without the agency?
Truthfully, I find it like, and it sucks for me to say, I'm going to sound like a fucking hater, but fuck it. I don't think, there's a lot of influencers that I think are corny. There's a lot of like models that I don't find attractive and I don't find anything about them attractive. There's a lot of people that I'm just like, how the fuck? Mm-hmm. Like, how are you successful in these industries when you don't entertain me? Or to me, you're not appealing, like, to my eyes. So when you're, I guess, building your agency, working with different models or actors, I guess you would say, creators, things like that, mm-hmm. are you looking towards the look of what you want your company to have or things that you're interested in? Is there certain standards that you have for when you bring on models, creators into your agency?
You know, back in the day when we were just like a modeling agency, there was a certain look. Mm-hmm. There's various factors that went with that. A lot of it had to come down with, were you serious about your portfolio? If I'm going on your Instagram or your Facebook or whatever portfolio you put on your application, do you have modeling pictures? Are you posting consistently? Are you constantly looking for modeling work? Right, you'll have somebody that submits pictures from your phone or in the mirror in like MySpace era, right? It's like, what are you doing? This is a job application. Mm-hmm. And that's the way that you have to look at it. It's like, if you're going for a job or you're filling out a job application, your resume needs to look fucking appropriate. So now I love being in the influencer space because it's not just about physical looks. I go to their page. Are they creating great content? Are they engaging with their audience? Are they getting comments? Are people sharing their posts? Do they look like a decent human being?
Do right. they submit their analytics to you when they submit, I guess, an application to join
yep.
the agency?
Yep. So okay. there's a lot of information that we request. And then we also will be rolling out a platform where influencers will be able to log in and have a profile with our agency. It's called the Influencer Portal. And they'll also be able to connect their accounts and see their insights right there on the dashboard as well.
Cool. Did you do this before the last fashion show? Because you already know what I'm about to say.
No, we didn't. This has been a work. Okay,
this is some new shit because the models I work with at the fashion show, I almost wanted to knock a couple of them out. I'm going to let y'all know that one. Yeah. We saved a couple lives that day.
Yeah. You know, when it comes to that, it's just, you know, events, especially like that, are just, they're high pressure for everyone. Mm-hmm. So you got to think about it. This person is putting on an outfit and walking in front of hundreds of people, hoping that they don't fall, trying to breathe, dealing with anxiety, boyfriends in the crowd, girlfriends mm-hmm. in the crowd, mom, dad, brother, sister, auntie, cousin. They want to do a great job. Like, that's their time to shine. Just kind of like when you're, it's your time to have your pieces shown in the mm-hmm. show. You're nervous. That's your time to shine. You're an
this
artist.
This is you making your excuses, I see.
That's not making excuses. Me. That's just, you know, a lot of this shit comes down to empathy mm-hmm. and just being understanding. Because I could be an asshole. I wouldn't have 300 plus people working in my organization if that was the case. So you just kind of have to be mindful. And once again, like, I can't stress this enough, there's real shit going on outside of this. Mm-hmm. People have real lives. People have families. People have children. People have jobs. People are, you know, have careers. People have other things going on. Not everybody is a full-time influencer, right?
Not everybody can be.
Not everybody can be.
It's hard.
And then the great thing about it, though, is that anybody can be an influencer. You're a mom, stay-at-home mom. They call it SAHM, S-A-H-M. But you create great content around the food that you make for your family or the clothes that you pick for your children or mm-hmm. the health benefits of eating this or whatever the case may be. You can build a brand around that, and you can get paid for that. So I think that that's just the great thing about the influencer space is that it's not based on looks.
So there is the argument, I'd say, of the topic of the social media cutting monetization. Mm-hmm. So what does that look like for you in your business?
When you say social media cutting monetization.
So like TikTok, basically TikTok algorithm, once a creator hits a certain amount of followers to mm-hmm. where they can get like brand deals and things like that, mm-hmm. I've heard that TikTok has made it to where their videos don't gain as much traction. Mm-hmm. Same thing with Instagram. I will say I became one of those, and I took up the bonus plan immediately.
Right.
Like, they're giving opportunity for anybody, like you said, to be a creator in their own sense. And they're paying you for your reels and your views because, in my opinion, it's obviously a marketing ploy for getting reels. Mm-hmm. Reels to become more popular, people using sound, things that are going to back-end help out TikTok and help out Instagram. Sure. But when it's not beneficial to them, like paying for run ads or taking on, like, I guess, brand deals throughout, like, directly through Instagram or TikTok, they're not gaining you're gaining more of the exposure and more of the monetization than the actual app is. So they're kind of cutting in to your funds. And I heard that they're going to start putting a lower cap on how much money you can, I guess, essentially profit mm-hmm. from, or that you can't profit unless it's through being paid by the app itself. I'm not sure when that's going to go into play, but that's been a topic that recently was brought up in a lot of influencers have been doing short videos on it. Uh-huh. I believe Facebook is going to be next. Because okay. right now, I think Facebook's the highest paying platform, right? YouTube.
YouTube is the highest paying platform. The thing about that is, you know, we're dealing with the brand. So our negotiation is with the brand on mm-hmm. how much the brand wants to pay the influencer for the content. Now, as far as, like, the monetization, like, of Reels, like, I did that for a little bit, and it was kind of cool, but think about the model, and I saw this broken down on Instagram actually the other day. It's, you know, you have Kim Kardashian, I think, what, has 300 million followers. If Kim Kardashian could post and reach 300 million people, she can make, like, it was something crazy, like $7.8 million per post. Dang. So as the platform, you have to limit it. Mm-hmm. You're killing yourself business-wise because then people aren't paying for ads, right? So the way that these platforms make their money is by selling ads, selling ad space. I get Niza to create.
Come on now.
He don't, I said even, Niza.
I said Niza. Neither one of those. Put some respect on my name if you're going to be on the podcast. Come on now.
I said Niza.
He's known me for a long time.
I said Niza.
Did you?
Yes.
All right. We're going to play that shit back anyway. So whatever. Keep it.
Niza makes 50 reels, right? Mm-hmm. What can I do with those reels as the platform? I run ads in between those. Right. So you're just giving me more content to run ads in between. And I'm paying you a little bit of money. Pay you a couple $100. Oh, I can't tell you exactly how much you can make, but the most you can make is $1,200.
Which is crazy. Because it fluctuates, like, by the views. I've had videos with higher views make less money than videos with less views. Which is weird. How do you weigh that and justify what your somebody's compensated from? Because it's not the comments. Mm. It's the views.
So
is it the views and the shares?
There's so many different aspects, right? You know, really, when somebody comes to our agency to do an influencer marketing campaign, they're trying to increase their sales. Mm-hmm. They want to sell more product. They want to make more money. So it really comes down to reach, right? See how many people that we're able to reach with those posts. And then looking at the conversion, right? Most times there's some kind of tag that goes along with that. Hey, use my discount code. Influencer, use my discount code to get 15% off. So that's tracked. So if you buy a shirt through me, you get 15% off, and it's going to track that, okay, Floydie sold 100 shirts on this campaign. So now Floydie's worth much more money for a post than somebody who didn't sell any shirts on a campaign. And that's one thing I see a lot of influencers get wrong. They get lost in, oh, I have so many followers, and I should just be getting paid this much because I've got this, that, and a third. Okay, well, show me a brand that's paid you that much. Mm-hmm. Show me a link to a post that you were paid for. I want to see how it performed, and prove it, right? Because the thing is what they don't understand is, like, look, say you want, I don't know, $300 for a post, but you're probably really only worth $150. But at $150, your post performs really well. If you do charge that brand $300 for that post, but the post doesn't do well, the brand's not going to pay you anymore. You got to pay $300 one time. But if you charge that brand, let's call it $200, right? And they love it. Let's say you get a 12-month deal.
It was worth the 12.
Well, I'm going to get a 12-month deal now. I'm going to pay you for 12 months at $200, right? It's $2,400 versus a $300 because you wanted to be selfish, mm-hmm. right? Or you wanted to overprice your cost. I mean, at the end of the day, that's the beauty of this. You can charge whatever you want. But I just encourage people to think long-term. You want to build great relationships with these brands. You want them to continue to come back and do continued business with us, with you. And then as you continue to perform well on their platform, that's when you go back and you negotiate more money. So take a little bit of money now, get more money later. That's what I would recommend to creators.
Have you ever had someone that you brought onto your team kind of shit the bed?
Are you kidding me? All the time.
Give me a good, I like to hear the tea.
All the time. We're certainly not going to do any name drops, but just
of course, no name drops. You know, we do slight shade on this.
Yeah,
podcast.
I mean, no shade. I mean, it's just, you know, you got to think about it. Influencers shit the bed on deliverables all the time, and that's just a part of the game, right? It's just, you know, when you're producing a product, you're gonna have some faulty product. But the way that we try to mitigate that is really just trying to build the expectations. With the influencer and getting an understanding of what their goals are. Like, are you really trying to do this for real? Because if you're not, I don't want to submit you to this brand. I have a relationship with this brand. I don't want to mess up that relationship with this brand. So are you serious about doing what you need to do? And then you get one strike with us. You know, you don't do what you're supposed to do.
God damn you, Judge Judy.
Because it's a business. It's a business. Like, I can't afford to have you. I can't afford to let you fuck up three times with three different brands.
So what made you think one, though? You know, sometimes they say, fool me once, shame on, is it shame on you?
Fool me once, shame on you, fool me twice, shame on me.
Fool me three times, you can't.
I don't remember what the third
Can't fool me
was.
Again. That's a J. Cole line.
Right. No, that's not a J. Cole. That's a George Bush line.
Wow, is it? Well, yeah. J. Cole
George
you
know, Bush
took it over.
Yeah, it's just a famous.
I didn't know
like,
that was an old white man that made that one.
He didn't even make it. That's a quote, and he said it in a press conference, but he fucked it up. That's why it was funny.
Oh, okay.
So that's the part that you hear in the J. Cole song.
It's what? Fool me one time, shame on you. Fool me two times, shame on me. Fool me three times, you can't fool me again.
Yeah, That's how he did it, yeah. We did have a model who worked a convention. It was like a CBD convention. Ate a bunch of like CBD candies and gummies and got really sick, which is not good. But what makes it worse is that they decided to post a TikTok about it and like post it on Instagram, post reels, and like a lot of people shared it. And
did she at least get high, or he, or she, whatever?
I don't know. I don't know. They got sick and they made a reel out of it, and it was not good. It was not good for business. The brand was very upset. We lost a lot of money on it. And probably a huge opportunity to work with like a new emerging brand. So, I would be out of my mind to give that person another opportunity. Because at the end of the day, I have a family to feed, mm-hmm. and the people that we work with, they have families, they have the thing, you know, they have things that they have going on that they have to take care of financially. So we're just not in a position to lose clients for ignorance, mm-hmm. and for just lack of being a professional.
Other business owners that are getting into the realm that you're in, or any type of business, would you say that that's a mindset that they should have, is that's highly beneficial?
It just really depends on what type of business that you run. Ours is just, once again, it's very intimate with the relationships with the brands that we work with. Sometimes we're able to get past mistakes on the talent end because we have such a strong relationship. You know, I think you allow people to make honest mistakes, right? But there's just some mistakes that are just unacceptable, and you got to be willing to separate because you don't want to create a cancer in your environment or in your culture that's ultimately going to hurt your bottom line. We're in business to make money. We're not in business to be cool. We're not in business to make fucking friends. We're in business to make money. And we're in business to change our lives and our families' lives. So that's what it comes down to. And you can't be afraid to separate from anybody who's getting in the way of that.
No, for sure. Very Diddy mindset to have. Yo, we in this shit for some fucking money.
That's it.
I'm trying to make enough money to pay people to do everything I don't want to do anymore and still be the face of it.
That's what it's about. It's about delegating.
So other than, I know that you mentioned, other than modeling and like managing creators, what's another business that you're involved with?
So I'm an independent solar rep, sell solar. If anybody needs solar panels on the roof, reach
fucking
out to me.
Man of many hats.
Yeah. Audio engineer, you know.
Oh, we got to hear your song. We got to hear your song.
Yeah. What we're going to do, though, is we're going to add that to the video so the audio sounds super crispy. Yeah. I did make a song about solar.
Do you
want
to do a live version right now? I could do the banjo in the back.
Yeah, do the banjo for me. Okay. How does it go?
What's the noise of
damn,
the banjo?
How does the hook go? I forgot how it goes already.
She'll be coming around the mountain with you.
Ain't she come around the mountain?
Put glass on your
house. We're putting glass on the roof. Hey, black on black panels going up. We're putting glass on the roof. Hey, hey. I said, you know that I'm up. You know that I won. Get in my energy right from the sun. We putting glass on the roof.
Yeah, sounds much better. Yeah, everybody's car radio.
That's it. That's it.
It gives me Allstate. Didn't Allstate have a commercial song?
Was it? They got Jank. I don't know if
they
have a commercial song.
There's something else.
So there's usually like jingles. There's usually like jingles.
Yes.
But this is a full production.
4 minute
music video dropping.
Shit.
It's gonna be lit.
You're gonna have the solar systems on top of the house.
I don't wanna tell you guys what we're doing for the music video. You just gotta have to check that out when it comes out.
Yeah, it might be on Worldstar. Just wait on it.
It's gonna be lit.
He's giving O'Reilly's.
Facts.
I own parts. But it's just gonna be
That's a jingle.
That is a jingle.
That's a jingle.
It's a jingle.
Ba da ba ba ba.
I'm loving it.
Jingle.
There it goes. We don't have your shit catchy like that.
That's it.
Excuse me, everybody's going. We just going to be listening to it to listen
That's
to
it. $0 down to make the switch to solar. You're already paying for your electricity. You might as well pay less, fixed rate, get the money back from the government. Make it happen.
You might as well. Shit, fuck it. So what got you into that business?
Having kids, knowing I needed to make more money, and it's just a
family
great,
shit.
Great industry to be in. You can make as much money as you want, and it just comes down to the work that you put in. So there's nothing like it. If anybody's looking for a sales opportunity, that's definitely an opportunity I would recommend.
Is that how it's ran, too? It's just like a normal sales business? It's 1099?
Yep. You go knock on doors or generate leads, however you generate them, and that's it. You know, I like to partner with real estate agents. They're already dealing with homeowners. Mm-hmm. So I partner with them, help them make more money, and protect their clients, right? There's a lot of bad solar companies out there. So it's great to have people that protect homeowners, and there's no better protector than a realtor, right? They helped you get into the house. Mm-hmm. So I like working with real estate agents for sure.
That's awesome. Do you have anything that you, any projects coming up when it comes to your agency?
Yeah, we're rolling out the influencer portal and the brand portals. We are working with Orlando Carnival again this year with all the Juve, and it's a lot of fun.
Gonna be crazy.
It's gonna be lit. Took a call about that today. We're gonna be helping out with their fashion show, so pretty excited about that. That's pretty much what we have coming up in the next few
months. And he's selling solar year-round. Don't y'all forget it. And there's a lot. The real estate industry in Orlando is booming right now to me. Or at least there's a lot of agents are coming in. I am actually myself, y'all, soon come going to be a real estate agent. So maybe me and you could talk business.
Oh, 100%.
But the industry is huge. So if you're doing that year-round, if you guys are getting into real estate or even getting into home buying and you want to figure out, right now is the time to fucking save money. Like, your groceries prices are as high as ever. Car prices, buying into anything, clothing, shit. Anything that you want is more expensive right now. And inflation. Rent prices are, inflation is through the roof right now. So why not try to save yourself some money on the back end? So if you're in that industry, or if you are getting into home buying and you want to figure out how you can save some money in some type of way, hit my boy up, you know?
Let's make it happen.
That shit. But thank you, Floydie, for coming on the show, you feel me? Y'all will know if I am a part of any other events with Floydie. Check him out. If you need a model, you need somebody to represent your brand, check my boy out.
Or if you need glass on the roof.
He got you.
Appreciate y'all.
Plug yourself in, though. Let us know how we can get in contact with you.
Yo, follow me on Instagram, at Floydie. That's F-L-O-Y-D-I-E till I D-I-E, but I ain't dead yet. I'm on TikTok, kind of. My shit is Floydie Go Solar. And, you know, any creators looking to get into the influencer marketing space or become an influencer, hit up my boy, alex.influence on Instagram. He'll get your shit right, get your shit popping. So sign up for our influencer portal as well. And we'll see you guys soon.
For sure. And don't forget, we got our marketing guy right here behind the camera. Shout him out.
Right here. That's him. That's Alex.
Oh, that's you? Yeah. Look at me, asshole.
Look, hey, look,
Alex is behind the camera, y'all. You don't see him, but he here. Repping. Oh, yeah. And y'all know the brand is heavy. I brought Floydie a little, some good stuff. Alex, I got you. I'm back in. I'm going to bring you some shit. But check the website out. I dropped some new merch. As y'all see, I got my varsity jacket on. If you missed the drop, you fucking missed the drop. You got to catch the next one. But tune in next week for another episode of Sci-Fi Fanju, and we out. Okay. Bet. Thank you.
Yep.
Ready?
And you can just randomly record cinematic.
He slid the phone.